bring in Terry Koshan from the Toronto Sun, who's been following the World Junior Summer Camp. Terry, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Very well, Dean. You?
I am excellent, thank you. A bit of a tougher day for Canada, although it's a summer camp, so let's not get too carried away. They lost a game, no big deal. But did you see a difference in Team Canada today than you saw in other days in victories over Russia and the Czech Republic in before? Or did you just see a difference maybe in the Czech Republic team?
Well, you know what? It was just a group of Canadians team that was, I think, pretty tired. I mean, most of these guys played in two games this week, but they've been going quite a bit. I mean, it's been 4 days, or sorry, 5 days really on the ice for a lot of them, and 5 days in a row, and back and forth between Sherbrooke twice, which is, you know, an hour and a half from Montreal, playing that night and coming back and going back out again. And so there is that, but no, it's just a little bit of undisciplined, but of undisciplined play. But like you said, it's an exhibition game on August 8th, whatever we are now, and I don't think it really means a whole lot in the bigger picture.
When you look at the makeup of the guys that have been at this Canadian camp, would you classify this Canadian team as, one word? Is it fast? Are they big, skilled? You know, what would you use to if you had to use one word to describe the makeup of what they're trying to put together here?
Skilled.
Skill?
No doubt about it, yeah. I mean, especially up front. I mean, Jonathan Drouin wasn't at this camp, Dean, because he was, having played on the previous two World Junior teams, he was exempt from this. And I think, you know, most of Hockey Canada and hockey fans in general figure that he will make the Tampa Bay Lightning this year. So even without Drouin, I mean, the depth that Canada has up front is pretty something. And, you know, you have, you know, people who are listening all about Curtis Lazar. I mean, this guy is, as they know, just such a good all-around player. I don't know if he's going to be available, so I think he's going to get a good chance of making Ottawa. But you go from him, you have Sam Reinhart, who, you know, could be with the Sabres, but might not be. Then, you know, it's Sam Bennett out of Kingston, a Calgary Flames pick. He had a good camp. Nick Tan, a Jets prospect, another Western leaguer. He had a good camp. I mean, there was just so much going on. Robbie Fabry's another one. Gulf Storm, St. Louis Blues pick. He was great. He got a bit of a leg injury today, but he should be fine. But there were a lot of things happening in the offensive zone for the most part throughout this camp in the two games against Russia and then the two against the Czech Republic. And really it was just today where they didn't capitalize on their opportunities. They outshot the Czechs again. They outshot the opponent every game this week quite handily. And today they ran into a pretty good goaltender in the Czech net, but skill for sure, and it's on the back end as well. There are some big defensemen back there, but all of them can move, and I think that's important in this tournament. And then when you get to goal, the same thing. Zach Fucale was the starter last year, and I know they finished fourth, but my guess would be that that's his job to lose going into Montreal and Toronto in December.
I look at, you talk about the ultra skill, and there's so many guys that you can't even mention because there's just so much skill. On the grit side of things, a guy like Greg Chase from Sherwood Park in our neck of the woods, on the opening night, I know he had a couple of points, took a penalty today. He's a guy that I look at, if he goes out every shift, throws a hit, gets in someone's face, he scored 85 points on the third line of a pretty good Calgary team last year. Yeah. Has the opportunity to make this team as an agitator?
Yeah, I like Greg Chase in this camp. I hadn't seen him play before, obviously, being based in Toronto. So there were a few guys like that from the Dub and the Q that I really wasn't too, that I didn't have much knowledge of. But Greg Chase impressed me in this camp. Just playing the way that you described, Dean. I mean, I just like his game, you know, the agitator. The thing is that it's, the way Hockey Canada is going now, too, with the World Junior program, they're getting away from the idea of, you know, just having a checking line, and that's your role, that's what you go out and do. They want four lines that can be not only responsible, but can also score. So when the fourth line or whatever is going over the boards, they're not going to be, you know, there's not going to be much, no chance that they don't put the puck in it as well. And I think Chase is one of these guys that has a real shot at that fourth line. And, you know, fourth line, you know, third line, that bottom six for sure, but they're just so deep up in the top end. I wouldn't see him cracking that, but just based on what this camp was, and again, it's just part of the process. You know, they have to go back now to the club teams and really excel. I think if any of these guys are clumping in December or November and don't do well in that Subway Series, they're not going to be around at Christmas time. But no, I like Chase's game. I thought he was pretty good.
For Oiler fans, obviously Greg Chase is a prospect, but Darnell Nurse is obviously a hot topic for Oiler fans every time. How did he look among this extremely mobile group of defensemen?
Well, he's the epitome of that, right? As fans there know, and you know they're going to find out again when he comes to camp in a few weeks, or I guess a month, not quite a few weeks, but he just has that. Like the, you know, one day Ben Walker who said he skates like the wind, and you know you've heard that about players before, and they often do. This guy really does. I mean, he just doesn't really need to go to a top gear out there to be flying, right? And with the defenseman, you know, that can get you into trouble at times, but can also you know, let you recover a lot easier when you have that mobility. And I would say that as far as speed goes, he's got to be at the top end of the group that we just saw here this week in Montreal and Sherbrooke. And I would imagine that he would be best suited with one more year in Sault Ste. Marie team. I don't know that he'd be ready to make the jump to the NHL. It's a lot more difficult, as we all know, for defensemen to do it than forwards at such a young age. But my guess is that he will be a cornerstone on that blue line at Christmas time. I, you know, unless he gets hurt or something, I don't see how he wouldn't be.
You know, it's funny, last year in talking to different scouts and particularly talking to Hockey Canada scouts, the reason he didn't make the team was he tried to do too much in the Ontario Hockey League, and he tried to be more than he is.
He didn't even get a shot in the selection camp.
That's right.
He wasn't even invited to that, so yeah.
Has he toned that down a bit, and is he playing more in his game?
Yeah, I think so. And not only that, he was telling us that he's gained about 14, 15, 16 pounds, and, you know, it's probably one of your few times in life that it's actually a good thing to gain that much weight in less than a year. But he did. I mean, it's a funny thing, you know. You hear "keep it simple," you know, coming out your ears all the time around hockey rinks, but it really is true. And you know, I just like Nurse overall in this thing. And again, he's got to, like I said earlier with Chase, Nurse has to go back now and do that with the Greyhounds starting in September, October, and take that right through the Subway Series. But and a lot of it too with Nurse is just being a year older. Another guy who's in that boat is Max Domi, the London Knights forward. He was also at the summer camp last year, and he also did not get a shot at the selection camp for a few of the reasons we're talking about with Nurse. And Nurse is he's just carrying himself differently. There's confidence there. You can just see it in him. I mean, it's you know, we all remember what it was like to go from 17 to 18, 18 to 19. And I think we're seeing that maturity in Darnell right now for sure.
This blue line has a ton of size. The smallest guy on this blue line is 6'1", and then you got guys like Samuel Morin, who is 6'7", 224. But the guy that I think has a real shot at being an impressive player on this blue line is Hayden Fleury.
He skates
like the wind and is one of the best defensemen coming out of the West. 7th overall pick to Carolina. What did he look like this week?
Same. Yeah, he's one of these guys. I just finished writing about an hour or so ago, and he was one of the guys that I had listed that, you know, really should be a part of that group. I mean, again, not somebody that, you know, being in this part of the country, you don't get to see very often, but same type of thing. I mean, a lot of these defensemen are quite similar in that the mobility and the size is there. Morin's the same way. You know, Dylan Hetherington's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Theodore, all these guys are roughly the same type of player. And I think it's going to be interesting now for that race to be one of these 7 players at Christmas time, because you're going to have to do something to set yourself apart in those months. And first thing will be consistency, of course. But I know that Hockey Canada likes Fleury. You know, I had a chance to speak to him one day this week, and he was trying to temper his own excitement about the possibility here. And, you know, there are also whispers about him not being back and perhaps getting a shot in the NHL. So we'll see. But certainly if he is, he'll have to be an integral part of the blue line.
And when we talk about the last line of defense, you mentioned Zach Fucali. I think for sure, I agree with you. He's got to be the incumbent. It's his to lose anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Comrie, Philip DeRocher, Tristan Jarry. The one thing every one of these goalies has in common, they're all second-round picks. So is that backup job up for grabs between all three of these guys?
Well, not only those three, but you know, a few other guys in the Canadian Hockey League who weren't invited to this camp. Now, I'm pretty sure, Dean, of the 10 goalies who were at the Hockey Canada's goaltending camp, they invited to this one the four oldest ones, so the four 19-year-olds. So, yeah, I think it is open. Now, you might say, well, Fakali was the goalie last year and Canada finished fourth. Well, that is true. He took over for Jake Patterson a couple of games into the tournament in Sweden, but it wasn't because of goaltending that Canada did not win a medal in Malmo last winter. And I've covered this thing for years, and Fakali really brought a bit of, not a bit, but quite a bit of composure and poise to the crease that, you know, quite frankly, been missing for Canada for several years, and has been for several years since they won gold in 2009 in Ottawa. And I think I've been saying with a few of these other guys, unless there's an injury somewhere along the way, Fakali's, you know, ascension as a goalie naturally takes him to be the starting starting netminder in Montreal on December 26th. He's just a few other guys are saying this week, he's, and not to compare him to the other three who are in camp, but about Fakali, they were saying he just gives us confidence. You have the sense when he's in there that everything's going to be fine, and I think that's the way he played this week.
Excellent stuff, Terry. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you in Montreal.
Okay, thanks for having me, Dean.
Okay.